It's a Tuesday morning. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
It's 24 degrees, but the wind is whipping. And
yes,
the wind chill is 3.
And it's April.
It is brutally cold outside.
We're into April. We're not touching April. We're knuckle deep into April.
We do this every year. Every single year. Oh, my God. No.
3 degrees.
I
bet you right now Anchorage has got better weather.
You're going to make Kimmy Google Anchorage, Alaska weather?
No, you don't have to.
I'm sure you do.
There
will be some snowflakes, depending on where you are. There were some snowflakes on the way in for us this morning. Kimmy, what do we got?
30 degrees, and it looks like the possibility of snow showers.
So they're better off in Anchorage.
They're better off than we are. So go to Anchorage. Nobody wants you here. Hold on tight.
Yeah.
It's going to get up to 30, and then we're back into the mid to high 40s later this week. So chill. Sunday, it'll be nice, cloudy, and 55.
Okay.
We got going for us. So come on. Although I've been told a 6-day forecast.
Can't trust it.
Yeah, we can't trust a 6-day forecast. All right, let's talk about dreams.
Dreams.
Hopes.
Yeah.
Today.
Where do you get those?
Today is my least favorite day of the year.
Today.
Yes.
Today's a nothing day.
It is a nothing day for you, my friend. But in the world of my 14-year-old daughter, it's everything.
What is it?
Today is the start of travel hockey tryouts.
Tryouts
for travel hockey, yes.
Oh, my God. Unless this season just does not end.
Well, this is the end of the season. So here's how they do it. It's for hockey, it's strange. Like, you know, football, you try out before the season. Basketball, you try out right before the season. Hockey, they have you try out at the end of the season because I guess you're already in hockey shape and you got to get everything together and the team's got to train
kinda
together.
I already know what you're about, though, at that point.
You would think so. Yeah. But
so how long does this go on for?
So this will be the next 2 to 3 nights.
Oh, straight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a school night?
Straight.
Yes.
How does she got time for anything?
I don't know.
Gets homework done.
Yeah. I
mean, goddamn impressive.
So she says, okay, let's tell me that.
Bro.
Oh, what time is it? I can't say too much.
So, your dumbass and my dumbass couldn't do half of that.
Okay, you are such a pandering ass bitch because you know my wife is like, your daughter.
She is so
amazing.
Impressive.
What an amazing.
What a child.
Young queen of the future. So this year, my daughter is moving up to the next level, age level. That's what happens with time.
Didn't happen for me.
Shut up.
You sat on the same bench for the 4 years I went and watched
it. And hockey, it goes every 2 years, so it's like 12U, 14U, 16U. Right. So it's not definite that she makes the team that she wants to make, and she is very stressed out about it, as are all of her little teammates that she's played with for the last couple of years.
Big move.
It sucks. The stress for her has been unbearable for the last month. Getting ready, because like there's practices that the team puts on to get the kids ready to do tryouts, right? And then like there's different teams that different girls can try out for, so they're all talking with each other about who's going to go where, and they all want to play with each other, but this, that, the other thing. And then like the stress from my 14-year-old leaks into every other part of the family, so now everybody else has just been tense for like 2 weeks.
Sounds like a ball, man.
Bro, it is.
How the hell is athletics supposed to be healthy?
It is not good. It is not good.
You need therapy when you're done.
Bro, I'm legitimately. So, like, this weekend, like, knowing that these tryouts were coming up here, just to try and get some normalcy, I went out of my way to do everything but hockey with my wife and kids. Like, we went out to the mall.
A little break.
Yeah, just went in. We went out to eat, all this stuff.
A little diversion.
Yes. And as a parent, it is tough for one very specific reason.
What?
And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I'll be quite frank with you. I don't care where she plays hockey.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as long as she's having fun, I do not care if she's on the best team in the world or if it's like, you know, 3 girls that's playing hockey with a tin can. I don't care.
Yeah.
But whether it's sports tryouts, a college your kid wants to get into, branch of the armed forces they have their heart set on, some kind of apprentice or internship that they're up for, at that age, it is very easy for your kid to decide if they don't get what they're after, their life is ruined.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole world.
Right.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it's a very delicate balance to walk as a mom or a dad because on one hand, you want your kid to have goals and to try as hard as they can at everything. So if I walk in and go, you know, none of this matters in the long run.
Yeah, you don't want them to become, you know, lazy about it because, well, it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, you don't want a Kimmy.
No.
But you can also go back to the wisdom of Caddyshack.
Which was?
The world needs ditch diggers too.
Yeah, I'm going to say that to my 14-year-old.
Spalding. So like, stop picking your nose.
Gibby, I don't want to dismiss what she's trying to accomplish.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like that competitive drive is good. But at the same time, the wisdom that comes with age lets you as a mom or a dad know whether or not they get what they want at this age doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, it sucks in the moment to be told to your face that you are not good enough for something that you strive for.
Well, and it's beyond that, too, because that's their whole social life.
You're right.
I mean, it's kind of your status in your group of friends. Like, I mean, you could essentially lose, you know, that group that you've been growing up with.
Okay, but here's the thing, and this happens every year. My daughter, you know, whatever team she makes, oh, my God, half my friends. I'm never going to have any more friends.
But
then she makes great friends with the girls that she's on the team with this year.
But you don't know that at the time as a kid that that's going to happen. And
It's happened five times. You figure out the pattern.
But don't you think it's embarrassing, though, too, as a kid when all your friends make a team and you don't?
Look, I get it. I understand. I understand that moment, right? But the fact of the matter is, with the gift of hindsight, as grown-ass people, we know that if you get told to your face, you are not good enough, this is not where you should be, da-da-da-da, it's just one small thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no grown-ass person has had a straight line of success from 10 years old to where they are now. You don't just continue to build and build, right? We've all had our hearts broken by something that we loved.
Yeah.
Right? We've been kicked in the teeth. It knocks us in a different direction. And you're always better for it.
Now you get bruised up.
It's just it.
Mm.
But that is impossible to explain to a teenage kid.
Yeah.
Impossible. So, like, by Friday night, we're going to know what the situation is for
next she's
year.
In or not.
Well, where she plays.
Okay.
So that's the other funny part. There's a team.
It's not get on something?
Yes, it's not like there won't be a team for
that
to play
Tin Can one you talked about? That doesn't sound that good to me.
But no, a lot easier to shoot. Lighter. Less work. But, like, that's just it. She will have a team to play on. She'll get to go play hockey, whatever happens, you know, whether she makes the team she wants to or not. But she will not let that sink into her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's just very, very – it's heartbreaking for me.
It's going to be frustrating.
It is frustrating. But, again, like to Kimmy's point, you kind of have to let your kid go through all of this stuff, which is really hard to do.
Man, I couldn't do it.
You could tell them all the right information, but it's their whole world. I mean, it's going to be a tough thing to get over in that moment. And, like, I do think you always see, like, I know I'm a little weird. So, like, that kind of stuff, it really bothered me as a kid. But I got over it as an adult. Like, you look back on it and you can kind of laugh about it. I don't know if if everybody can do that.
Like,
are there still things from high school that bother people to the point of, like,
scarred for life.
It sticks with you? Like, I'm talking about, like, not making a team or, like, getting kicked off a team. You know what I mean? Something where, like, you were kind of embarrassed.
A-hole coach.
Or felt like you got screwed.
Well, I mean,
I do think like there are people that never really let that go.
Maybe it depends on where you end up, like if you're happy where you are now. Because I guess it would be easy if you were in a situation where you feel you don't belong.
Yeah,
I'm better than this, and I don't know why I'm here right now.
Or you don't fit in, or.
But I guess it would be easy to like look back at that moment and be like, "That's where it changed. If this would have happened here, X, Y, Z, it would have led to a whole whatever." But I mean, again, like, you know, 2 years from now, 6 months from now, this may be nothing at all.
Yeah, true.
But it's not going to change the fact that if things don't go well this week for my 14-year-old, it is going to be misery in my house. Mm. The other problem is if things do work out the way that she
wants. Oh, yeah, all right, then what?
She will be insufferable. Like, completely
insufferable. Oh, you. Loud, mild, braggadocious, Mr.
Braggadocious?
Mr. Chuckle Chops.
I don't know where she gets that from.
Yeah, what the hell did I do? I'm being a vulnerable parent at the moment.
You guys are popping her head into all the studios to tell everybody how great she is.
I love how this is. I'm not even.
Everybody doing good today?
Hey, would you like me to host a meeting for your show?
I did not ask if I.
Rush Sherman, damn glad to meet you.
She's gonna be giving her friends hockey lessons.
Shut up. 252 to CMF. It is hockey tryout week. For my daughter's hockey team, she's going up a year, and she's not sure what team she's going to make. And she has a team she wants to make, right? And that's going to be like a coin flip. We'll see how it goes. And if she doesn't make this team, it is just going to be absolute emotional misery in my home for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like, that's the other thing too. Is
what's
like,
that?
When your kids are younger, it's easier to be sitcom dad or mom, where like you sit down on the couch and like that soft music, like da na na.
Okay.
And you put your arm around him and you go, "Hey, kiddo, listen, you know."
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get him this time, but next time, you know, you work a little harder and you're going to surprise yourself. And you're like, you know, your 8, 9, 10-year-old will go like, okay, Dad, and then you have a hug, and then you like watch something on TV for a little while.
All right.
My daughter thinks I'm the dumbest person on the planet.
But that's what all teenage girls do, right?
Yes, yeah.
And they just turn on you.
I'm fine with that. I get it. I get that we're going through a time. And, you know, I'm lucky enough we're still pretty close despite the fact that she hates every part of me.
Yeah.
But, like, when it comes to, like, the putting my arm around her and be like, nah. Like, if I try to tell her, like, you know, like, hey, you know, sometimes the press, shut up, Dad! You don't even know!
I love this kid.
Can't you relate to that, though? Because you would have said the same thing to your dad. Like, Dad, you don't know.
No, you treated your parents like crap.
My parents like treated me mom, like crap!
See, like, if your parent tried to make you feel better, never. You always felt like they didn't really understand.
Yeah, your mother would heat you up a nice meal.
You know what the difference is?
What?
Kimmy, and yeah. Tell me if your experience was different. Because I know your dad was big into sports, yeah. Like I'm big into sports.
But he was a hard ass.
What do you think you're talking to over there?
Not a hard ass.
Or you think he's a hard ass?
Oh, he gives her lessons after practice.
I don't give her lessons. If she wants to talk, I talk about.
Use your wrist, buddy. You gotta put your shoulder into that. Always keep the puck in front of you.
No, move your feet. Just move your damn
keep
feet.
Keep the damn stick on the ice.
Okay, thank you. Two hands on the stick on the ice. She's doing this Russian thing, right, where she's got one hand. She's pushing the puck with the outside of her stick on a breakaway. What are you doing?
Lindy Ruff, though?
I'm just saying, you know, kid backchecks hard on you. That stick's getting lifted. You look like an idiot in front of everybody.
Yeah, that's all right.
Rest my case.
Move your feet. Anyway. Now, Kimmy, like, it feels like when we were kids, our parents, like, if we were in that funk or, like, if something bad happened, our parents could just be like, well, that's the end of it, and walk away.
Yeah, they didn't care.
I don't know. I think they try to relate in some way. And when it didn't even matter what they said anyways, I was still going to tell them they were wrong. Okay. They didn't get it.
I don't remember an experience where things didn't go well for me, like in the athletic world or in the world, yeah. Where my old man was like, it's okay, and here's why. It was always like, this is what you get.
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't apply yourself. You're right.
It was always you didn't apply yourself.
Yeah.
I told you, I should have been on the weight room a lot of a ladder.
Right, everything's a goddamn joke. You don't want to do your homework.
See what happens when you don't put the work in?
Yes.
And here's the thing. I don't want to be that guy with my kid.
No, because to Kimmy's point, it doesn't work.
Mm. I was sure, though, because it did turn me into a psychopath.
Is that what you want for
well,
your kid?
Well, I mean, look, I ended up in a pretty good spot. I love my job. Job's great.
Yeah, but you're an emotional wreck.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. Well, that's
the same thing.
It takes a toll on your health. You had scurvy.
I know.
I wouldn't want this for my child.
But that's just it, right? Yeah. Like, you know, we talk all the time. You seem to believe in your Soviet hockey coach outfit that you're wearing today. It's not even Thursday. He's in his tracksuit.
It's cold, man. And it's also laundry's tomorrow.
Okay.
So the only thing I had clean.
So we're beyond tracksuit Thursday. We're on to tracksuit dank weather day.
Dank or it's not laundry day.
I feel like we're 6 months away from tracksuit Tommy.
Yeah, I agree.
But like, you know, you have this idea, Tommy, that parents are better today.
Oh, they are.
Okay.
Like you're...
Every generation of parents is going to lack something.
Right. But you're more engaged with your kids.
I understand.
And you're paying attention to your kids.
And I appreciate that. But I don't know. I mean, look, we're going to find out 30 years from now if, you know, our parents being like, well, this is the lesson you should have learned was the right way to do it, instead of me standing back and letting my daughter trying to figure it out on her own by not criticizing, you know, XYZ of what could have happened.
It seems it has to be a better way to work. Because we just went to Chicago to see the grandkids this weekend, right? And I'm watching the stepkids, my stepkids, working with these kids, and they're, like, totally engaged with both of them. And they're three and an infant. But, like, they're completely engaged. And I even said to my wife, that's got to be a better way to go than the chain-smoking a-holes that raised us. That, hey, if one dies, we'll make another one, man. Like, you know, like, it has to be better. Because at least you're watching them. So if there's a problem, you're on it.
For the sake of the health of my children, I hope you're right.
Yeah, like you don't need something brewing inside your kid for 20 years, and then you're like, my dad, well, what, I did all I could.
But here's the thing. The road to hell is paved with the best intentions.
Okay.
Look, I just don't want to sit here and do a victory lap on my parenting when I don't know how the hell it's going to end. It's like being halfway through a movie and be like, Oscar, done, Doug, best 30 seconds of a song anyone's ever written.
But maybe you get to be the best dirty shirt in the hamper.
Okay.
Right? The cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper.
All right.
Not the best at Kimmy's point, but it's got to be better, man.
We'll see. I mean, going back to the whole youth sports thing, I will say this. The one thing that's different about youth sports and tryouts and all that stuff compared to when we were kids, Kimmy, the pressure seems cranked up to 11 compared to where we were when we were younger.
Yeah, I mean, your daughter, she
She's working out like she's in a semi-pro league.
How old is she? 13?
She's 14.
14. Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, you're working like a professional.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, these kids are hitting weight rooms at, what, 10, 12?
Yeah, my daughter's 12. She plays tennis. They got her in the weight room for tennis.
Yeah, that's like she's going into, you know, the U.S. Open.
Well, I mean, to be fair, she played the U.S. Open last year. Did not do well. Could have applied herself.
Well, you know. Yeah. Kim Pegula just won this weekend.
Ah, see? Her dad's a hard ass.
Yeah.
Get out there.
He doesn't look like a hard
no,
ass.
No, he doesn't. Big old soft boy.
Yeah.
But you were saying, Kimmy, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, like, she's now getting to that age where things, well, I remember things starting to get really competitive, like, once you hit that high school age. But I would argue, like, I've heard from horror stories of parents that are in, like, you know, just after T-ball, that it gets so competitive that, like, their kids lose interest before the age of 10.
I was at the rink on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because they have these, like, you know, like, workout, get ready for tryout skates.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a dad that I am acquainted with.
Yeah.
Who starts telling me, there are these parents that will brag about where their kids are in their sports careers.
Yeah.
Even though they're like 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this dad tells me.
7.
This dad tells me his son made an 8U elite AAA travel hockey team.
AAA?
It's like the highest of high. Like, but like they're going to travel over the summer, like all over Canada and the Northeast. And they're
that's like serious travel.
They're 7 and 8.
And they're traveling thousands of miles to play hockey.
And, in total. But, like, and it's a summer league. Like, there's no such thing as an elite 8-year-old hockey player. Like, it doesn't exist. With all due respect to the kid, I want the kid to be happy and have fun, right? But that doesn't sound fun.
No.
That sounds like a nightmare.
No, it sounds like you're in the you're on the Red Army team.
Like, you just kind of wonder.
Yes. You think this is tough training, yeah?
Like, how do you see
I'm
that?
I'm also drunk.
Nice recovery.
Like, how do you see that big of a difference between 8-year-olds?
You couldn't.
7, 8-year-olds.
Boys. You can't tell me you've got a whole team.
A little better, you know?
But you can't tell me you've got a whole team of elites.
I guess you do.
There's no such thing as elite at 8!
Right.
It doesn't exist!
Maybe one special Gretzky kid you would have.
But even that guy, like, who knows, 4 years from now, if
kids catch up. Yeah, like, I mean, like, I remember kids that were, like, these all-star athletes in, like, middle school, and then, like, everybody catches up to them eventually, unless, like, they're above and beyond everybody else.
And that's how it's supposed to be, right?
So you remember our boy Vinny?
Yeah.
His kid was playing, like, peewee football, right? Not even, like, high school or junior, like, the little tyke ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night he's telling me, like, you want to go out for a drink? And he goes, nah, I got to go over to the coach's house to watch film. All the dads go over to the coach's house to watch the film of these little, what look like drunks trying to play football at like 7 years old. They're watching film. Like your Pee Wee Lombardi.
It's got to be just for the parents,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Like, it makes you feel like an actual, like.
Like I'm invested in this game. Oh, we need strategy.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We are very familiar with threats in the greater Rochester area.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we've made the statement that we have to lead America in threats made against elected officials by local people.
Yeah, we're a threat town.
Yeah. However, this threat story is a little different. One, although it affects us, this man is not from the greater Rochester area.
Yeah.
And two, he didn't threaten a politician. You see how quickly authorities move when a politician is threatened.
Well, sure.
That times 10 when you threaten something like this.
What the hell did he threaten?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. A 40-year-old man from California has been arrested after police say he threatened to blow up 2 power plants in our area.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Power plants.
Authorities say the man.
And he picked our area.
I don't know why. So here's the thing. He called the National Grid. Like the National Grid.
Hello, National Grid?
Yes. Authorities say he told them, and I quote, I am calling in a bomb threat to you. I'm going to blow up both of your nuclear power plants by the end of next week.
So is he talking about the one here?
Authorities say he specified that he was referring to power plants in the state of New York and in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right.
All right. So there is nothing in the story about why he threatened to blow up these power plants. By the way, this story happened like back in May. He just pleaded guilty this week.
All right.
It is important to point out, however, feds say he did not have the means To blow up the nuclear facility?
Yeah. Didn't really have a solid plan.
Got that. Nor do they believe he intended to carry out the threats.
Mm.
So he took a plea on Monday. He pled guilty to conveying false information and hoaxes. He's looking at, even with the plea, 5 years in prison and $250,000 fine.
Just for being a cup of crazy.
Yes.
Mm. All right.
Weird way to blow off steam.
Yeah.
Threatening to blow up.
Let me tell you something, power plant.
Yeah. And you weren't even talking. Like, even him going to the power plant and yelling at the actual plant would have been a better idea than calling National Grid.
And he wasn't even picking on, like, power plants in his home state.
No.
Plenty of power plants in California.
Well, biggest state. One of the biggest states in the area.
You could find a local contact for that.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about all of the strange things in this story. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You touched on the first one. West Coast threatening East Coast power plants, right? Also calls in the threat, which may be the easiest way to get caught doing something.
Yeah, sure. Like, I could trace the... Was it an actual phone call?
He called National Grid.
Was he unaware of, like, location? Like, he just thought this is, like, the nearest spot?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I don't know. Like we talked about a second ago, in our area, we are very used to threats against elected officials. We see those in the news once a month minimum. This is the first time we've seen a nuclear power plant threat.
Yes, it is.
That's like Batman villain level threat.
And world ending.
Mm-hmm. But like the most head-scratching part of this story.
What was that?
If there was one thing you could do where you'd assume the government was going to be all over you, come and find you. It would be threatening to blow up a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, that's got to be a number one right there.
Because I'm going to assume that, like, when National Grid hung up the phone, they were like, yeah, we should probably keep an eye on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to hang it up and be like, well, it's lunchtime. My hands are tied. I have to go, right? And there's nothing in the story that said the man made demands or anything like that. He was just going to blow up the power plant.
Yeah, and like he wasn't looking to get any leverage.
No.
Like, I will give me this or I will do that.
Or I'm angry about this.
There's no like political cause, nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
None of that. Just I'm going to blow up the nuclear power plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a weird age to be threatening to blow up nuclear power plant.
What was the age?
40.
Hmm.
I guess I understand some isolated teenager to like 24-year-old deciding this is something that they would want to do. I also kind of understand a 65 or above man, like, oh, the world is insane. I'm going to blow a power plant.
I think the whole phone call aspect of it puts it at a higher age. Teenagers don't want to make the phone call.
But Kimmy, 40 years old, you're too busy to be threatening to blow up nuclear power plants.
You think you have more to lose.
But if you're 40 and you ain't got nothing going on in your life, that's a different story.
Fair enough. Yeah, because all your friends are busy.
Yeah, all your friends are busy and successful. You're not.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe like, you lost yourself a little bit. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, I was thinking about blowing up the
power plant. Angry.
But he wasn't even actually thinking about blowing up the power plant. He just wanted to
threaten. Thinking about getting into a threatening game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he did. Like, do they not have, like, you know, a co-ed pickleball league in your town? You can just show up at the park with a paddle.
But he ain't even making that cut.
Just jump in.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about a 40-year-old man from California who pled guilty this week threatening to blow up power plants in the states of New York and Pennsylvania. He pled guilty in Buffalo to serious charges. He's looking at 5 years in prison, even with the plea, and a $250,000 fine. Wouldn't you love to have the video of the cops arresting him for this threat? Because, like,
he's sitting in some apartment in California and they come busting in.
You know that he thought he did enough to disguise who he was.
Yes.
You would not have made the call if you thought they'd be able to trace it back to you, right? So, like, you know, he's like, doo-doo-doo, just sitting around. And then there had to be, like, a SWAT team, door kicked in, smoke, right? Like, surprise, we know you're the power plant explosion guy.
Yes.
Like, what? I just want a photo of his face the second he realizes that his power plant caper has, in fact, blown up on him. And, like, how do you explain that to the people in your life?
Well, again, that might be a really quick call also.
But even if it is. Like,
to grandma.
Think about this, man. You got nieces.
Mm-hmm.
You got brothers.
Yeah.
If you got a phone call
that
one of your brothers
wish could happen.
Did exactly this, what is the first thought that goes through your head?
That makes sense. No, I'm telling you, man. Like, I would go, I mean, I'd be appalled, but
nobody would say, look,
What?
I know that we think we all have a weirdo in our family, right? And there are things we can imagine them doing. Mm-hmm. Threatening to blow up a nuclear power plant is not on anyone's bingo card. There is no, way you'd hear that and be like, that makes sense.
No, but you know, like, that family member would also try to justify it. Well, they did this, this, and this, and I didn't really mean it like that. They took it like that, but I didn't mean it like that. You know, like, they would just try to talk their way around it or try to justify how they got there.
No, but you called them.
Yeah, I understand.
Because, like, there's another story this morning of a woman east of us who was arrested after making threats in court. And in that story, things got heated with
the
judge.
In the moment.
Yes,
yeah,
in the moment, and she said things. Yeah. And look, again, not good.
No.
You should be arrested for making threats in open court about what you're going to do to the building. But I kind of, like, I get the logic behind it.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated, right?
Right.
Like, this one, you were sitting around.
You had time.
Yep, you picked up the phone. Hello, yeah. is this National Grid? Yeah, you got all them nuclear power plants, right?
Oh, yeah, we got a bunch.
Okay, listen, I'm going to blow them up. I'm going to blow up.
Can I put you on hold?
Yes.
All right, stay there. Okay. Put you on hold.
But keep in mind, I'm going to blow them up. I need to.
Tan and young. And I want to put you on hold music. Yeah.
I would love to have 5 minutes with this guy to see where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to get into this guy's brain to figure out what has happened. Maybe he didn't make his hockey team at 14 years old, and it led to him calling in nuclear bomb threats.
Yeah. I mean, he was so close to just getting into morning radio.
Maybe it was a bit. Yeah. We're going to blow up National Grid. I know a guy who would have thought that was a great bit.
Yeah.
252-WCMF. Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mikey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, morning, you boobs. Hey, so I'm wondering, what if it's one of these guys that's like, oh, they got these power plants, they're all out there, they're not protected, and, you know, anybody could blow one of these things up, and they got to take that seriously. I'm going to make them take it seriously. And he made this fake phone call hoping, you know, I'm going to boost security, and they're going to take me seriously, and they'll start protecting our assets because they were just one crazy immigrant away from blowing everything up.
Okay, well, it turns out, if that was his argument, the security way better than he assumed it was because they found him.
Yeah, right? So that he can sleep well in his cell.
All right, Mike, let me ask you this, because Tommy said he has people in his life where if he found out they threatened to blow up a nuclear power plant, he'd be like, that makes sense. Do you have someone in your life like that?
Yeah, I'm talking to you now. No, just kidding. Maybe one or two people I could think of that I wouldn't be surprised if.
Are you one of those people?
No. I talk a lot of funny, but I wouldn't actually do stuff.
Well, if you talk funny, I get you, buddy.
It sucks too because he could probably get away with this based on how he dynamite disguises his voice a second ago.
Me not know what you say.
No, he's
right.
He's Cookie Monster. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
I talk the funny, you know.
I talk the funny. When was he going to start doing that? Your mic's off, Kimmy.
I forgot I turned it off. You do know the guys, though, that even if they didn't call for the reason Mike said, they would flip it around afterwards and be like, well, see, like, I was doing them a favor. Like, I tested out their security system. Turns out it works.
I'm helping you out.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, if there is one good thing from the story, it's that we know that they take threats on blowing up nuclear facilities pretty damn seriously.
That's good.
So we got that going
for us.
All right. So the moral of the story.
Don't threaten anybody.
And go join your pickleball league, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Idle hands of the devil's playground. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
You can only hunt deer during deer hunting season.
No, that makes sense.
Same with turkeys.
Yeah. Right?
Turkey hunting season. But did you know?
What?
We are about to come into another hunting season here in New York State.
Ooh, what do we get to shoot now?
Well, that's just it. You're not shooting nothing. That's actually against the law in this hunting season.
But how do I hunt them?
Well, okay. I'm going to explain
it
to you.
Going barehanded?
I think so.
No.
It's a hunting season you may not be familiar with because, one, who knew people hunted these? Two, how would you know if someone were breaking the rules hunting these outside of their hunting season?
So if I walked by and saw somebody hunting this thing.
I don't even think you know they were hunting.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room. Watch just Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. Did you know?
What?
We are coming up upon frog hunting season in the state of New York.
Man, really?
That's weird.
From June.
For the legs?
I don't know.
It's the only thing I think you need on a frog, right?
All right. From June 15th to September 30th is frog hunting season.
Man, I never heard
hunting.
This.
They're calling it hunting.
Frog.
Isn't it really grabbing?
Yes.
Season. Well, yes.
Grabbing season more than anything, right?
Well, that's just it. Because according to the law, I'm going to quote you the law in New York State.
Don't blow away a frog with your 12 gauge?
Yeah, you're not allowed to shoot. You are not allowed to shoot
frogs.
Well,
why would you shoot a frog? You couldn't eat it.
Just call it frog trapping season?
Kimmy, I did not write the laws.
A frog trap.
I'm sharing with you. Okay. What is trapping it, grabbing with your hands? You just grab it.
But I'm saying, what's the definition of hunting?
Yeah.
So when you get into the rules of frog hunting season, it gets even more confusing.
Hey, can you eat all frogs? I don't think so.
Okay. There's a lot of questions being thrown at once that we have to slowly break down here. Because, look, I'm just as confused as you are. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. So it says, quote, frogs may be imported, bought, or sold at any time, but the importer must keep a record of names and addresses of the buyers and sellers. So that leads me to believe that these folks are hunting the frogs to sell them.
Okay.
Oh.
Why would you be selling frogs? And where are you selling them to?
Well, I mean, to pet stores or to people that make frog legs?
I've never seen a pet store with a frog in it.
Oh, there has to be.
Have you ever seen
maybe
a pet store?
An exotic frog.
Do you use frogs to feed other creepier animals?
Okay, possibly.
But then you're not killing the frogs, you're just trapping them, which I thought like hunting meant like you're killing the animal.
I don't know. Well, I thought hunting was just like catching it.
Well, no, because you don't catch a deer and just keep it at your house.
You could. Well,
no,
you can't. It's against the law. But,
yeah,
I mean, I guess would that if I caught a deer, am I not hunting the deer?
I wouldn't consider that hunting.
Yeah, I think she's right. I think if hunting implies that you put the son of a bitch down.
Will you Google the definition of hunting?
It's killing. It's
killing
an animal.
No, that's killing. It's killing an animal. Not
well,
hunting.
It's killing season.
Okay.
I wonder if you sell them to, like, butchers that sell frog legs because, like, that's like a delicacy.
Where?
Okay. This doesn't help.
I don't know. Maybe on the frog market.
252-WCMF.
Which I think is down this week.
Hunting. The activity of hunting wild animals or game for food or sport.
It doesn't help us.
Nope.
But no, you're shooting for sport.
No, like, again, nothing said shooting. Shoot. Nobody said shoot.
Well, killing it.
Nope, nobody said kill.
Well, you are hunting.
No.
For sport means that
hunting,
you
hunting, the chasing and killing of wild animals by people
or other
kill
animals
it. For food or as a sport.
Shoot!
So, no, you can't. It's against the law to shoot a gun while
you can't
frog hunting.
How do you kill a frog? It's going to sound terrible, but how do you kill a frog but keep it together enough where you're selling it for food?
You punch it.
Or you stomp on it.
Yeah, no, because then it's not a thing anymore.
But no, just don't stomp on its legs.
Again, you can't get over the frog legs thing.
Do you sell them to medical places where they teach kids how to do dissection like schools?
Yeah, I thought they raised those frogs. Like those frogs were like raised and then they were like collected like a frog, like you know, like a trout.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so nobody in this room has any idea what we would be using frogs for.
I didn't know
for.
You nope. could do it.
Neither did I, but apparently this is not new. This has been a thing that's happened like forever. Frog hunting season between June 15th and September 30th in the state of New York.
Okay.
You going to get out for some frog hunting this year?
So every house, the two houses I've lived at always had a ton of frogs. Like they're all over the place.
Yeah, well, I think they confused you with their grandfather.
Are they frogs or are they toads?
Again, I'm not really sure the difference.
Because I think frogs are more of like water, toads are more land.
They have a froggish look to them.
I know based on a book I read when I was a kid, frogs and toads hang out together.
The toad and the frog?
Frog and the toad.
Whatever.
I don't know the book.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. I don't read that. That was a joke.
I gotta start reading a frog book at this age.
Can I hunt toads during frog hunting season?
I don't know.
Is that a different season? Toad hunting.
I mean, they are two different animals, technically, right?
No, but they're kind of the same damn
thing.
They're
similar, but they're different. I mean, they are two different species, or are they? I don't know.
All right. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We are lost here.
Mm.
Now that we have learned
that
frog hunting season in the state of New York is between June 15th and September 30th, here's what we know.
What's that?
We know that you cannot use a gun to hunt them.
Mm-hmm.
We know that according to the law, frogs may be imported, bought, or sold at any time, but you have to keep a record of who you're selling the frogs to, which is also kind of funny.
Yeah.
You have frog records. If there are laws that state what is and isn't legal about frog hunting in New York, That means there has to be a community of frog hunters among us.
Yeah.
But I've never
Froggers, they call them.
But yeah. I've never met one.
Yeah.
Have either of you met frog hunters?
No.
Okay.
Nope. But I guess I've never asked.
But here's the thing. We know hunters of everything else. We've all had friends that hunt deer.
Oh, sure.
That hunt turkey. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you know, it's not the most common thing, but you know someone. How of all of the years in this room of combined age have we never come across a single frog hunter if there is a frog hunting season?
It doesn't sound like it's also worth the effort. So let's say I got a hankering for – I love frog legs, right?
Do you actually love frog legs?
Yeah, they're delicious.
I've never had frog legs.
I mean, they do taste like chicken. But
so why not just get chicken? Yeah. It seems easier to get.
But you could brag and eat it from frog legs.
Well, who would you brag to that about?
Oh, the French waiter that brought them to your table.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm cutting off your
show. Let's say you love frog legs and you're going to stock up on frog legs. You'd have to kill so many goddamn frogs to make a mess out of make a meal. It wouldn't be worth it.
They're
small.
How do you know though?
It'd be like you hunting for chicken wings.
We'll be hunting chickens.
Right, now wild chickens.
Yeah.
Like how many chickens would you have to kill to get like enough to get you through the winter?
But there aren't a lot of wild chickens.
No, but my point is you're not getting it. There's not a lot of meat on the bone of these things.
Okay.
So why would you do it?
Because it's a delicacy.
Is it if it's in my backyard?
You can't. I don't know a restaurant here in town that serves frog legs. Do you?
It's probably one of these high end ones.
Really? You hang out with?
Well, they're French. It's a French delicacy.
Okay. No, but I'm saying
that's what they call them, frogs.
I literally just said delicacy, and you go no, and then you finish up with French delicacy. It's actually a French delicacy. I was like, where am I? I tracksuit on a Tuesday. It threw it off the whole plan. 252 WCMF. All right. We finally have some folks that can help us out here.
Oh, good. Frog experts.
252 WCMF, we have discovered that frog hunting season starts June 15th and runs from September 30th in New York State. This is not a new thing. This has existed for a while. You are not allowed to use a gun to hunt the frogs.
You got
to
snag your hoppers.
If you sell your frogs, you have to keep a record of who you're selling the frogs to, but we can't for the life of us figure out why people would be frog hunting. Chuck's going to clear it all up. He's on CMF. Hey, Chucky, how are you, buddy?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
I don't know about clearing anything up, but yeah, I can clear something up for you. Hunting is defined by the dictionary will be different than hunting is defined by New York State.
So how does New York define it?
Well, you'll have a word like pursue or take. You don't necessarily just say kill.
Ah, told you.
All right.
Stupid. Not you, Chuck. The people I work with. All right, so Chucky,
Tommy was right there. He said snag. That's one of the words you'll hear him use.
He kept saying shoot and kill. He kept saying he was inserting the word kill into the definition that Kimmy was reading out loud. Hey, Chuck, do you know any frog hunters personally?
I've done it, yes.
Oh, okay, so what did you do it for?
To eat them.
What parts of the frog can you eat?
Just the leg.
Okay. Is it worth it?
After you get enough of them, yeah.
How many do you...
Oh, you got to have a pile.
What's a successful takeaway?
Dozens.
Dozens.
And do you trap them? Or like, how do you kill them?
Go at night with a little light on your head, and they're sitting on the top of the water. You can't miss their eyes. And you just have a little... I used to do it as a kid around here, but it wasn't very fruitful. I moved down south, and I hung out with a bunch of folks that were Cajuns. They put it in their gumbo and their jambalaya all the time if they had them.
All right, now I'm
and they lived by swamps, and there was oodles of them.
Okay. So, yeah. Oodles but of frogs.
Lots of them. If you didn't get enough, though, don't bother killing them. Don't bother starting the dinner. Stick them in what they used to call it, a burlap sack. They called it a gunny sack, I think. They wetted it, and they'd throw it in a tree and just keep them hanging out there for couple more days until you kept gathering up more. Once you had a cooler full, then it was time to cook.
How do you kill them?
Oh, they just nailed them to a tree and cut the leg off.
Oh my God. Oh my God, Chuck, you monster.
That sounds like the Bible.
It was right in front of you. You didn't have to bend over. You just tag it to the tree and then you just whop the legs and that's all you're taking is the legs. They're very, very...
Do you leave the rest of it on the tree?
As a message to the rest of the frogs. No.
Like any game you clean up, you got a mess to clean up when you're done.
So what do you do with the carcasses? Just throw them in the woods for the deer to eat or something?
Bears? Well, deer wouldn't eat it, but you could throw it in the garbage or you could throw it out in the woods.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, Chuck, you... sorry, go ahead, buddy.
What a horrible way to die.
Well, Chuck, I mean, I suppose it's relatively rudimentary, but the fact that you're not killing it meant you didn't have to refrigerate them. They could sit and hang for days. You just have to keep them wet.
Oh.
So in the old days, you didn't have to, you know, refrigerate your meat.
All right. Well, Chuck, thank you for all the frog information. I wish I did not have none. Yep. Thank you.
I'm sorry I asked.
Horrifying.
Go and order some gumbo someday, and while you're eating it, think about what that meat is. They'll tell you it's sausage, but, you know, who knows? In gumbo, you're never going to taste it.
Chuck, thanks for the call, man. Oh, my God.
You're never going to have gumbo the same way. Man.
That's horrifying.
I'm really upset I asked.
How do you...
I don't know, man.
There isn't a better way to kill the frog?
Like, if I was walking down somewhere and I saw my neighbor nailing frogs to a tree, I'm calling the cops.
You think it makes a noise when you do that?
I don't know.
Of course it does. You stick a nail in anything, it makes a noise.
But does it die right away?
You take your average mime, put a nail in him, he's going to scream. He's not going to, like, phone that stuff
not
in.
Not if he's committed, man. That guy's a pro.
Well, that's going to sit with me for a while.
Oh, my God. There's got to be a more humane. Can't you just suffocate it or something? Is that more humane?
Does it stomping on it would be better.
Well, no, because then you don't get...
Bro, a stomping is quicker than nailed to a tree in a slow... By the way, that thing's alive and you're still carving off its legs.
Does it die right away? It's Maybe. Very Easter appropriate, I guess. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Let's never talk about this ever again.
Yes.
You know, the weirdest thing about frog hunting season...
Well, I think we just found it.
Okay, no. Oh, yeah. Wait, okay, else? No, I'm sorry. You're right. The second weirdest thing. Well, okay. Well, the DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation, it goes above and beyond to catch folks hunting out of season.
Yeah.
Right? We've seen some insane cases of investigations done on people that were hunting deer illegally. How would you catch someone illegally hunting frog?
Probably be pretty tough.
Like, they don't need a gun. They're not going to wear camo.
Right.
You could put the thing in your pocket if you got confronted.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why would you have a hunting season for an animal that seems almost unenforceable?
Yeah,
well,
true.
I guess if we're going by Chuck's information, maybe they're keeping them all in a sack or something.
Okay.
That's how you'd
call the gunny sack out here. Okay. You can hang on. You got to keep that sack wet. Them critters would last a month. Until it's nailing season.
I'm never gonna forget that.
Nope.
No.
Chuck is going to live in my brain for the rest of my life.
He does paint quite a gruesome picture.
But while being charming at the same
time. Yeah, he was.
Let's take a break.
All right.